Okay, okay. But Aesop's. We have the Aesop expert here. We have a packaging expert here. These are very nice gentlemen. These are the kind of people you find at Benzinga.
Yes.
They're here to share, to learn, to teach, to meet people, and discuss all kinds of things at Benzinga. So we appreciate you guys jumping on the podcast.
Absolutely.
And how do people get in touch with you?
Go to my website, www.mboventures.com. Connect with me there or on LinkedIn. I'm Darren Gleeman.
Yeah.
So I think that's easy. Yep. If you just go Aesop plus Darren Gleeman, 1,000 things are going to pop up, and you can find out how to contact me. Sure.
We need to talk some more because I'm going to help some people exit over the years, and I think there's some good strategies and good stuff to be worked out here. Yeah. So let's keep talking. We're back with another episode of Meet Unshackled. We have one camera for this one. This is kind of unique. This will be like a very straightforward thing.
Okay.
Dimitri Downing again, back with
Max Juhas
from
Dope SEO.
The hostess with the
mostest.
Yeah. Can you rap?
No.
So here's another. This is kind of how things break down at Benzinga. You're wandering around. You're having conversations. You're meeting people here. You get in these little groups, and you're like, hey, what's your name? It's Mo. Hey, what's your name? It's Darren. What do you do, Mo? What do you do, Darren? So this is how it happens organically. I don't know Mo. I know a little bit about Darren, and I like what he does, and it's really cool. But I don't know what Mo does yet, so we're going to find out together.
You know what? Nobody knows what Mo does.
Yeah.
And this is exciting. Yeah. I'm excited to know what you do.
Yes.
What do you do, Mo?
Let's hear it.
Awesome. All right. My name is Mo Kaufman. I'm the director of marketing at RxDeco, a packaging company.
Okay.
Focusing in the cannabis space. Our focus is on three things: so innovation, price, and quality. All right. So we have a line of proprietary items. The big thing is in the cannabis space, a lot of things have kind of been stagnant from a perspective of consumers who are used to doing back-end deals, and you know, you meet in the alley and you're exchanging some money for a little baggie. And we see, you know, bags now, these Mylar bags, they're all cheap. You see big celebrities launching brands, and they're all just cheap packaging. And to me, as a consumer and as someone in the space now, it's fascinating how it hasn't caught up yet to, like, the way alcohol would do it.
Packaging is super important.
And are you guys a cannabis-specific packaging company, or are you a branch of, a department of? Are you a larger packaging company into cannabis?
Yes, so there's a larger packaging company. Our founder, Moshe Zussman, his family's been in packaging for 100 years.
Okay.
So
you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, so everything's been in there for a long time. All those relationships are built up, the distribution.
So you guys know your way around packaging?
Correct. You know, that's another thing is that in the cannabis space, companies have came in, and they're people who are in the cannabis space, and they try to do something else, right? So they want to make merch. So they're not a merch company that came in the cannabis space.
Right.
They're people in the cannabis space who want to do merch. So the approach of packaging first and then coming here to know how to operate correctly.
So you're like the guy who does packaging for Cheetos and Frito-Lay and McDonald's who's now getting into cannabis.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, yeah, so... anybody you want to talk about?
So, there's
what was the previous packaging? What is the company known for? The mothership.
It's innovation.
What kind of packaging? Anything famous? Anything you can mention?
That you can talk about, or?
Like a potato chip bag, or is it more like a capsule, or like a?
But like the packaging company that.
It's overall. I mean, we're going to focus on RxDeco, the cannabis niche. So that was established in 2017.
Right.
The idea.
But the 100-year family thing, what were they known for in packaging?
We do everything. Anything and everything. We've done from primary to secondary packaging.
And now the cannabis niche is just cannabis oriented.
Yes. So we have a line of proprietary items. Our C-series, like concentrate jars, are super cool, unique, and provide a solution. There's innovation in the space is not really there. There's so many legalities that prevent things from happening. But a lot of it is just the people who joined the space initially haven't really came from a perspective of a business that then's going into cannabis. Rather, they're cannabis enthusiasts who we're starting to slowly see that now.
Right.
People who know how to operate as a regular business then coming into cannabis rather than vice versa.
But we're going to come over to Darren here for a second. I'm going to give you another chance, though. I want you to tell me why the mothership is this master... I want you to think about this for a second, okay? Because, like, when I found out that Philips was coming into the lighting for cannabis, I knew then that Philips would figure it out. And Philips is going to dominate the lighting space as soon as they go all in. So I want you to talk about this 100-year history of packaging and what they shine for and what they're known for before we go back to cannabis in 2017. But I also want to first reintroduce, because have you been on Unshackled?
I've been on, I don't know, but yeah, different shows.
Yeah, because I know what you do.
I don't even know where I am right now.
We met before, and I know what you do from
actually,
somewhere.
Yeah, I think you did interview me. Oh, you know what? And I think you look. Okay, this is what happened.
Yeah.
You went to the internet, and you Googled what is an ESOP, and you came across this arcane rule, which is an ESOP is a defined contribution plan / bonus plan of Section 412. And I was saying to you, no! That's just, you know, what it's talking. It's really just like the code. But what an ESOP is, it's just another way to sell your company. Like your family business, which is a family packaging business. Well, it's a family business. They can actually sell that company to the employees and do an amazing thing for the employees, for yourself. And also the owners would then get these tremendous tax benefits. And one of the amazing tax benefits is this. When you are 100% owned by an ESOP, the company itself pays no federal tax and no state tax forever. Now, if you pay no tax, that means...
Forever?
Forever and ever and ever. And that means that 280E is irrelevant, because who cares if you can't take deductions? So an ESOP is meant to be forever. It's not, but it's mostly meant forever.
Hang on a second here.
Okay.
And I remember I liked you when I first met you. I thought this was cool, but I haven't had to sell a company, and I thought the concept was cool. So... Okay, I own company ABC over here.
Yep.
And I built it up, and I sell it to my employees.
Yep.
Is that a taxable event if I sell it as an ESOP?
Okay. Normally, in every other industry, in every place, it's always a taxable event.
Correct.
Except for this. When you sell your company to private equity or you sell it to a strategic buyer, right, you have to pay capital gains on that sale.
Right.
Across the board, it's about 30% throughout the country. When you sell that same business to the employees via this ESOP structure, the capital gains are deferred. And if you structure correctly, it's deferred forever. So the capital gains can go away.
What it's if huge. All the employees are your family members? He's like, don't talk about that.
No, because you wouldn't do that, because you need at least...
I would do that because I'd try to avoid taxes.
Right.
That's just me, though.
Yeah, but they're also owners. So really, you need at least 20 people.
20 people.
20 people to do this 100% sale to. And so, yeah, if it happens to be all 20 people are working in your family, then that's okay.
And how do you prove that they're employees? I mean, they have to have, like, W-2s a certain amount of time?
Yeah, it's a real payroll.
All that stuff is audited?
Yeah, so let's say we're all employees.
I'm trying to figure out how to do this, you know?
I got a large family.
I know. I know a guy with 66 relatives who just exited for $65 million.
Ooh.
And he's selling it, but he's paying taxes on the dividends over 7 years. If he would have made that sale to the family?
That's right. So that's an installment sale over 7 years he's taking. So every year, what he's doing is he's taking, let's say, $9 million a year out. And every year, he gets $9 million bucks. And then he pays $3 million in capital gains, keeps $6 million.
Yeah.
And then next year, rinse and repeat for the next 7 years. If he did it as an ESOP, he doesn't have to pay the capital gains tax. Zero. It goes to zero.
Of course.
There's a catch.
What's the catch?
There's a catch to it. The catch is this. You sell your company for $60 million. The government says, okay, if you want to not pay your capital gains, you have 1 year. You sell it for $60 million. You have 1 year to reinvest that $60 million in stocks or bonds, or you could do it with real estate also. And so when you do this, you can lever that purchase. So if it's a $60 million sale, you don't have to take all $60 million and buy, for instance, bonds. You can put in, for a bond, 10%. So you could put $6 million down and buy a $60 million bond called a floating rate note. But that's how you would do that. So you don't have to put all $60 million in. And as long as you hold on to that bond, you never pay capital gains tax. So there are these bonds that are created that are 40-year bonds.
Okay. Now, so say you sell company ABC to the employees and there's 20 employees, then company ABC goes on and continues functions. Company ABC still has to pay normal taxes.
No.
Can create a non-taxable company?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? That's like a big deal.
That's a huge deal. The company itself pays no taxes at all.
Because it's employee-owned.
Because it's this employee-owned in this ESOP structure, yes.
All employee-owned companies pay no taxes? Can you start a company as an employee? So Max and I start company ABC, and it's employee-owned, and we work. Does that pay no taxes?
Yeah, you could start that, but you need at least 20 employees to start it.
Gosh.
And what would happen is it doesn't make sense for you to start the company today, because what happens, remember, you're selling the company to the ESOP. So you're going to make money. But if you just start a company today, what's the value of it?
Well, if 20 of us get together, we start a company, we don't have to pay any taxes. We each own 5%.
Well, the company itself doesn't pay any taxes, but when you actually sell the company to yourself, if you're 20 people starting it, you sell the company, you're selling it for nothing.
But it would be a second time, yeah. But
yes, at that point, yes. Then the company itself will run completely tax-free.
And that company could then acquire another company?
Yes.
And that company will then no longer pay taxes?
Correct.
So I start in ESOP today with 20 employees, sell it to the employees.
Yep.
Now I have a tax-free forever business.
Correct.
And that company then goes on and acquires another company of mine.
Yep. You got it.
And they're no longer paying taxes.
That's right.
Why isn't, Amazon, Apple, why are they using other loopholes? Why not just use this?
Because for Amazon and Apple, they went public and they got a humongous valuation. So if they sold it directly to this ESOP, they would have gotten a fair market valuation when they did it, whatever, 30 years ago. They wouldn't be able to get a premium on it. Like, for instance, the company you work for is a perfect company to do an ESOP because it's a packaging company.
Hey, but if you introduce them to your family-owned business over there, they do an ESOP and everybody makes money, Mita gets a share.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I mean, okay. So the thing is...
It's Benzinga.
If you were to take...
You got to take care of us, Max.
Yeah.
You got to take care of us, Max.
Always.
I'm saying.
Listen, so Bezos makes a new company right now, gets 20 employees, sells it to them. Then that company acquires Amazon.
Well, for that company to acquire Amazon, Amazon's a public company, so you have to take it private. But let's use a different example.
Yeah. Forget the publicly traded company.
Yeah, non-publicly traded company.
Yes. Yeah, let's take example where your packaging firm does an ESOP.
Family-owned.
Family-owned. They do an ESOP, you sell.
Privately-owned.
Privately-owned. You're going to now become 100% owned by the employees, paying zero tax. You then go out and start acquiring these smaller packaging firms throughout the country. The moment you acquire this packaging company, it pays no taxes anymore.
So why isn't every large, non-publicly traded company doing this?
Because they don't know that it exists.
And freaks people out to think of the concept of employee-owned.
If you speak to an investment banker, no, it's not communist at all.
But it's okay. I'm okay.
It was created for capitalism, actually, to compete with communism. That's why it was created way back when.
It's okay. No, it makes sense. I'm with you.
Is this new?
This has been around since the 1970s. The structure of zero income taxes, that's been around since 1998. So Congress put that in. They wanted to figure out a way, how can we get a company to pay zero taxes?
The Clinton years.
So Congress puts this into a bill.
Give me a 500.
And Bill Clinton signs it into law.
The Clinton years.
It was the Clinton years.
Yes.
This sounds wild. If this is...
It does sound wild, doesn't it?
Yeah. If this is so
It is
easy.
Very true. It's very, very real. The biggest issue is education. Like, if you go right now and speak to guys at Goldman Sachs, top investment bank, Evercore, top boutique bank, they do not know that this ESOP structure exists.
Yes.
They don't know that it exists. I mean, someone at Goldman actually does. But I will get the deal. But they don't do that. They're not in the business of doing that. They're in the business of selling companies to other companies. And they take big, big fees.
Every single person, before they start or sell a company, should Google ESOP and understand what it is.
No, if they Google it, they're going to get what you got last time, which is it's an IRC Section 4012 defined contribution plan.
Oh, God.
I need to speak to them.
No, but then call you. I was going to get I'll connect them to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can get a share.
Yeah, they can Google it and you go to my website so they can actually really understand what it is.
Where can somebody find resources on this?
So from me. If you go into the code, and you actually try, it's so disparate, it's so crazy, and it's so technical. So yeah, go to my website, www.mboventures.com, or if you do Google ESOPs and you like case studies, you can find out stuff.
I love this ESOP stuff. Aren't you interested in learning more?
It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Doesn't he package it really well?
Yeah.
He does.
Yes, back to packaging.
I mean, closed it. That
you,
was
see,
good.
You see how
closed
that worked out?
Closes the loop.
That closed it.
I still want to know if you work for Frito-Lay or who are the biggest packaging companies in the country? So, non-cannabis.
So it's a good question. I
want to get them to mention the name.
Yeah, so I want to focus on what we're doing in the now and present.
I used to prosecute, you know. I could get to this if I wanted to.
Listen, we could.
You are a prosecutor.
I'm just being nice. It's okay.
We can go around. But, you know, yeah. I would say we can stand on what we did today, right? Which is how we innovate our distribution, our customer service, our quality, our prices. There is not much competition when I look out there. There's people who would compete in a singular category, right? You want to talk about this type of packaging. Okay, this company might have something we could compete with. For the most part, there's really not that many people out there innovating. I've been going to show after show, going to old exhibits, looking at what they're doing, and I don't see anything really excites me.
So you guys do, I was walking by the Blazy Susan booth. You said something that really excites you. So forget it. Anybody catch that joke? Forget it.
It went right over my head.
Yeah, it's all right. I was like, I saw something that really excited me. Walk by the Blazy Susan booth. Did you? Any, guys, so far. So dive into the gutter, my friends. Chubby Gorilla, do they excite you? Are they cannabis specific?
Yes, they have a parent company. And they're interesting.
Who's their parent company? You don't want to mention them either. There's something I want to know more about you. You're leaving yourself like this air of mystery that people want to reach out to you. Say, like, we got to talk to this guy. He's keeping some secrets.
There is a mystery there.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, and here's the number one secret. I don't know why you can't just tell us one packaging item. I mean, I want to know.
No, you can talk about his packaging items.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, okay. It's the company behind them.
Oh, that's the secret.
Yes.
Odds are they don't want to let anybody know.
I know.
They don't want people judging them.
I know. Because they're probably packaging Bibles or something, you know?
They're
vacuum sealing Bibles, and they don't know. And now they have a separate cannabis branch, and here he is. And, you know, they're cannabis experts now.
Yeah,
So RxEco is under an umbrella of companies. So we have, let's say, Origin Packaging that does everything general. We have a vape line of Axis. We have a lot of proprietary items that we then, in different industries, Teed is a super cool item we have. It's a revolutionary product, paper-based, 360 branding opportunities, super innovative. There's nothing like it out there. And it's in, I think, 55 dispensaries right now in New York alone. And I go out there to the dispensaries, and I'm looking out at this and looking at the rest of the items. There's nothing that stands out as much as in a Teed. But that same item will then package via, let's say, Origin and showcase it in a different light, right, for a different use case, more than just cannabis. So there are other ways we can use the same innovation that we create for cannabis specific. You look at something like how you use a tincture jar, right? We have a super cool product that allows you to, it automatically will pull in the oil. You want to have that drip, you know, you have, for cannabis, it's great. For essential oils, it's great. So it has, you go to makeup, you have applications for there. For food, you have applications. So it has a lot of applications beyond that. But the focus and all the innovation stems from what we do for cannabis. That's why RxEco is the focus.
Right.
So we have a lot of...
I just want to know the mother company. That's it. Because Philips, because another Benzinga like 2-3 years ago, I found that Philips has like a whole testing center out in Minnesota, North Dakota, where they're testing all kinds of lights to develop out lights in the cannabis space.
Okay.
And the way they do things are like years of research and development, and we do things right. We're Philips, you know, which is kind of a big deal. I'm like, well, when you guys come in, you can take shit up on the whole industry, and everybody's going to be using your standards, your techniques, your technology, et cetera. So that's why I keep trying to find out who's behind you guys. But it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, so we could stand on what we have right now. Listen, we can talk
you're
about it.
You're clearly an expert. No, your knowledge is tremendous, and people should call you to discuss cannabis packaging and stuff. Obviously, you've established that. You've established your expertise. I'm just trying to get that little bit out of you.
Listen, we could go there. You know, you could take a product. We have a product like Axis. We have carts that we're selling for so little right now.
Yes.
And it's the same certification as CCELL, right? The same level as there for a fraction of the cost.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. And the idea there is just we want to showcase quality at cost, right? So many items in cannabis packaging were just marked up tremendously for no reason, and it killed brands. It killed, you know, little guys comes in, they're trying to do something, and they're getting killed with astronomical pricing, and they've never done this before. So they're getting pricing that makes no sense, and we're like, let's bring it down. And vape cartridges are one of the last ones that still have that really inflated value for what it actually costs to produce. So that's something that we wanted to. We were running right now 89 cents for, you know, the regular threaded cartridges.
I like you, but I'm going to declare you a hostile witness. Just kidding. I used to be a prosecutor. One day, offline, we're going to talk more about the mothership.
The parent company is based in Colorado.
Oh, see, he's getting closer.
Listen,
he's getting closer.
He's chipping away.
I think I can figure it out.
Okay. But ESOPs. We have the ESOP expert here. We have a packaging expert here. These are very nice gentlemen. These are the kind of people you find at Benzinga.
Yes.
They're here to share, to learn, to teach, to meet people, and discuss all kinds of things at Benzinga. So we appreciate you guys jumping on the podcast.
Absolutely.
And how do people get in touch with you?
Go to my website, www.mboventures.com. Connect with me there or on LinkedIn. I'm Darren Gleeman.
Yeah.
So I think that's easy.
Yep.
If you just go ESOP plus Darren Gleeman, 1,000 things are going to pop up, and you can find out how to contact me.
Sure. We need to talk some more because I'm going to help some people exit over the years. And I think there's some good strategies, good stuff to be worked out here.
Yeah.
So let's keep talking. And how do people get in touch with you?
RxDCO.com. RxDCO.com. That's all there is to it.
Yes. And we will, one day, you're going to be back here. I'm just kidding.
Oh, we can definitely run this back.
You're a nice guy. And I really, really respect your level of expertise in the packaging sector and the unique cannabis-specific focus and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Appreciate you being here. We appreciate you being Benzinga. And we look forward to getting to know you better over the years.
Yep.
Thank you.
It's been another episode of Meat Unshackled.